Well, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, this is a place where you come. Open it up, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, and we'll pick up from there. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for the privilege to serve you. We thank you for songs like we sung to start with. And plus, we can come together, collected together, to pray to the throne of grace. And now we open this precious book. And our Father, we understand there's different ways of learning. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We need to know doctrine. We need to know deep things in the Scriptures so we can actually understand what God is doing and then understand more so when He talks to us about service. A lot of times if we don't understand what He's doing, then we don't understand the service part. I believe that everything begins to build upon that which we know basic about our Lord. And here in Romans, this church was not like the church at Corinth. This is a strong church. And God did give Paul to give some great information to it. And it's good for our learning. But Lord, our learning is not to learn and then sit back and do nothing. We're to be thankful to know what's happening, and then again, same time, realize that we're ambassadors of our Lord and Savior here to witness to the world that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Give us that ability tonight to understand our place until you call us out of time and into eternity to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, go back if you will. And last week we ended up in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. And verse 30 is kind of a summation of what we see in verse 28 and 29. These are very powerful verses of Scripture here, and I dare say that a lot of folks who read that never really understood it. So we went into great detail. So you need to understand what we said last week on chapter 8, verse 30, to get understanding where we're going to tonight. And eventually we finish up this particular chapter and move on to something else. But one thing we did, and understand that we learned this, you cannot live the physical life without being born physically. Now, if you don't get that, you might as well go no further. And you cannot live the spiritual life without being born spiritually. And Jesus summed it up in John 3, that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. Therefore, there's two births, and those two births gets us to where God wants us to be. Only one birth, the physical birth without the second birth, gets people to go where God never intended to go, but fix a place for the devil and his angels, and why not use the same place for those who follow after the devil and his angels? So these verses here are to give us something very strong in understanding about what God has done for us. Now, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, 14 a couple weeks ago, and I want to read again because this is where the natural man's at if you understand anything about God. In verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and you could say things. Now, what he's saying, we're not teaching in the wisdom of man. If you do, then you're going to mess everything up that God's trying to tell us. We're trying to ask God to help us see through the Scriptures the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who inspired this book, where we were at, what God did for us, and what He expects now for us to do as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I think the best thing in the world is always refer back to the fact, again, when you're born physically in this world, you was a little baby, you had to grow in economics and compassion and all kinds of things as far as physical growth was concerned. Not only did you grow physically in a body, so to speak, of bones, but we are to grow academic and other things, and even to some degree be able to handle things in life. We have vocations, we have a whole lot of things we can say we need to grow to make life better in the physical world. So to be born spiritually, then there is also a growth. And we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And this is what helps us by getting things that are basic at this particular time. Then he tells in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, isn't that interesting? They're spiritually discerned. So that's understandable. You've got to have the Spirit of God to be able to understand what God wants us to see about ourselves and about Him, and understand that he's left the boundaries of the spiritual world through the boundaries of time to reveal to us who He is in the flesh. When that happens, there's a lot of things that have to be filtered through the flesh. If you're not careful, Satan will kind of let the filter not work like it should. And so it takes a little effort for us to be able not only to believe God, but in turn, when we trust Him as Savior, believe in what He says about salvation, also believe in what He says about our works. And so when I get here in chapter 8 and begin to see this verse again, we saw that he, moreover, once he predestinated, and he did that because, you see in verse 29, he foreknew. And we went through that. I'm not going to get into that tonight. We went into deep detail that last week, and the tape speaks for itself. And then notice also, he, moreover, that is also whom he did predestinate, them he called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, notice all those are past tense, them he also glorified. Now, when I get to the last one, and I told you we went from where God was at in eternity past to where we're at, and then I said, go for where we're at, back towards him. You come one way, we'll see what God saw and what he did. Start where we're at, and we can understand what he did for us as we go back to see what he saw to start with from that particular verse. And it's a great help to us to understand this tremendous truth that he wants us to understand. The new birth could be performed many times in the same person. This verse, chapter 30 of chapter 8, would have to be cut out. You can't, because once you glorify somebody, there's nothing else you can do. And God said that he looked, and from that, you see, there's a whosoever call, then there is a special call. The call he talks about here, this one is the special call, but John 3:16, the whosoever call. The whosoever calls to the whole world. God so loved the world, he gave it only by the Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the individual call, or that call, specific special call, is John 1:12. When you receive Christ as your Savior, to them that receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So there's a difference in that call goes to the world, and the world, it's a natural man, looks at it and says, they ain't nothing to this thing, it's all foolish and so forth. And Paul talked to the church about that. But then there was the one he passed by one day, and we passed by that door, and we heard that call. And suddenly the general call calls us to turn. But then the specific call was that day when he come to you, and you said, yes, Lord. It could have been in your home, could be in a soul winner, it could be on your side of your couch, could be in church. It could have been a lot of places. That specific call got her to the place when we responded to that, God Almighty brought us into the kingdom of God. And so the physical birth, when the physical birth took place and physical defects came in place in our physical body, you can't be born the second time, the third time, and the fourth time from physical birth to get rid of defects. Right? And by the way, they come as we grow in these physical bodies. And so we have to go to medicine. We have to use things that God gives us to do that in the physical body. And if the medicine works, it has left us increase life again to where we're at today. But even then, because the wage of sin is death, the body's going to die and go back to the dust. And we're going to go and be where God can disperse us based in Christ or outside of Christ at that time. And so the spiritual birth, same way, is born from above. And so when you find yourself being born from above, if you're truly born from above, then there's a lot of things that comes as we grow. There's things we had to learn the physical body and say, again, as we grow and we hit and miss and get it right, and hopefully life is better if we get older than it was when we started. Well, when you and I got saved, we were babes in Christ. I might have been 100 years old if I got saved the day I was a babe in Christ. And my 100 years in physical life, it helped me in the physical life, but it didn't do one thing for me, the spiritual life, because I didn't have the Spirit of God to help me understand until I got saved. And so he tells us in Hebrews this, we are babes in Christ, and we need to get off the milk of the Word, get on the meat of the Word, and the Holy Spirit helps us do that, because once you get to a point in life, you should grow enough that you're no longer a babe. You should be able to do something. You should be able to surrender to God, understand some calling, understand what he's done for you. Be sure since you have your eternal life in such a way that you can expound and be able to give a reason why you're saved, and only can do that by the study of the Scriptures. It isn't your opinion, it's a reason. We should be able to give a reason. That is, we should be able to go back and have the verses of Scripture that gives us that understanding of being saved. And it's not just what I'm saying. No, we're saved because what God says. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you can take verses like that. Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. You believe not that ye shall die in your sins. Those verses together gives us assurance of the fact that they come if we know we bow our head and bow our knee to the Lord that he saved our soul. And so what is our verse then that we said the last part last week? What is our verse is like medicine verse? It's 1 John chapter 1 for the child of God. The unsaved can't use that verse. They need to go to whosoever will trust him. John is talking there that he used the term we. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the reason, again, as I close with this thought for last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where Paul's told to the church at Corinth, examine yourself so you be in the faith, and not lest you be a reprobate. Lest you be in something you don't even know you are, but the Scripture proves that because you have no reason of understanding how you got saved and therefore can use the Scripture for that purpose. So we build ourselves upon the rock, we said last week, not on the sand, Matthew 7, 24, 29. Jesus Christ is our rock, and when the storms come, he's not going to sink. But the sifting sand will sink any house that's built on it and leaves the Lord Jesus out of it as their means of life. So here we know and understanding, how can God use Matthew 28 or Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, 29, and 30? How can he use that to talk about where he was at and see the future and see when he said, I glorify them, he's already done before he gets there? You see, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to keep in mind, in the beginning, God is talking about something in the future, but he's already there. You're not there yet, but he sees us there. We're going to find ourselves being just what he said one day. And when we get to the point of he sees us glorify in Jesus, and he knows for a fact we're going to get the glorified body, and this body is going to go back to the dust of the ground. So God doesn't have to wait and see if we end up in heaven or hell. Do you know that? He doesn't have to wait. He knew from the beginning of time. How do I know that? If you look at me again and go back and read for Acts 15, verse 18, when the Holy Spirit was giving information about what happened to Peter's house and getting saved, how he turned to the Gentiles and so forth, he said that known to God all his works from the very beginning. And that verse is a powerful verse about who God is. So therefore, he can look for the future. He sees it already there. What an amazing thing. The fact is, he sees it in whole. He sees us in Colossians where he tells us that we're complete in the Lord Jesus, not in ourselves, but complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about God doesn't have to wait to see if we get to end up in heaven or hell, he already knows that from the foreknowledge, and these verses teach us that. Also, nor if God's children will get rewards or not get rewards, he already knows that too. And yet he's going to try it by fire there for us to see what the end results will be. He knows that now. Jesus Christ did not labor in vain. In verse 29, look at me again. If Jesus Christ could not do what he said do here, we told us a lie. In fact, he never lies. He cannot lie. The Bible certainly teaches us that. He cannot sin. And so if you look in verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. In other words, he did not labor in vain, because what he did know, he predestined to be conformed. Now, what does that mean? It means to be fashioned like unto God. That was what he was setting forth, the fact. If he's not doing that, his labor is in vain. Amen. You try to accomplish something, this is the goal, and you don't hit that goal, your labor is in vain. You waste it. And a lot of folks are wasting their life in this life doing things which is not going to amount up to anything for God. And so here he's given us this assurance, though, that they'll be conformed. And we know in Romans 12, you can't be conformed without being transformed. We're not to be conformed to this world, fashioned like this world. We'd be transformed by the renewing of mind, and in that transformation, he from beginning is conforming us to the image of his Son. It works that way. It doesn't work outward in, it works inward out. And that's what the new birth is doing. So as I begin to leave this for just a moment, I want to go back and kind of bring some things together, chapter 6 and 7, a few verses, see some things we're talking about. I know this. Again, I want to say, and I've said two or three times, but I've got to keep understanding where I came from. In my mother's womb, when I was conceived and began to grow before natural birth, in my mother's womb, I was being prepared for this life. And so are you. You got the things that were needed, even though we're little bitty, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 pounds or so. Yet when we were born, everything we had was there, so when we came in, it was preparing us as a human being for this world that we're coming into. And now since I've been born, 77 years in time, God, and certainly since the day that I was born again, 57 years ago, I began to be prepared for that world. And so are you. We're being prepared in growing grace and knowledge of the Lord of what we'll be doing here to manifest to this world who Jesus Christ said and what God is doing, to God has going to get us where he knows, he sees us at, sitting at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you're sitting there, he said you're already glorified. You just had, I'm in flesh right now. I know right now this flesh has not been glorified. It will never be glorified. But isn't it a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen, to understand a little bit about God, who is more than we are in mental thinking, has made arrangement that whereas he lets us know that we're in this body, that new creation in here, though, everything you see about God has to come from within out. It didn't come from out in. That's religion. Religion starts out and you start doing all these things and hope God will be pleased. God comes in with a birth and in turn tells us where we'll be and tells us when we leave this life, this body's going back to the dust, but that which he's already seen is going to be there with him. And, of course, we've got to glorify our body in the rapture one day. So if we say like Paul, now I want you to go back with me and put a few verses together. Look at me in chapter 7, verse 22 for just a moment. And it won't be much longer we're going to be out of this. But if we, like Paul, say we delight in the law of God in our inner being. Now, Romans 7, verse 21, 22 says that. Watch. Paul said this. After he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't something that Paul said, I found within a law that when I do good, evil's around and I have to, I can keep it off. He said, no, it's present with me. Everything I think in my mind to do for God, there's a law in my memories of this flesh that's never been redeemed. And it's always trying to get me to go against what God says. And sometimes Paul cried out that he just didn't seem to have what was needed to have the victory, but yet he knew he had already had the victory. And we'll see that in these next few minutes, I think, with all my heart. Notice he said in verse 22. Verse 21 said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God. Wait a minute. Go back with me. I just read you to it in 1 Corinthians that the natural man receives not the things of God. Paul said, I delight in the law of God. You know what he's saying? That's a sign you're saved. Do you love God's word? You must be. You're here tonight. Do you love the fact when God answers prayer? Do you know you're not got some fictitious mind of who God is and because somebody said something happened, it happens. God is real, the fact that we know that he's alive and well because he bears witness with our heart through his word. Anybody who tries to follow the God that we are following don't have this book. They're not following the true and living God. You don't follow him outside of this book. He has a right to describe himself. That's the reason he is a God that's jealous, because he's given us information about himself for us to learn who the true and living God is. And so Paul says again, for I delight in the law of God after, watch, the inward man. What is the inward man? The new creation. Then Paul says to the church of God, we can as inwardly put off the old man and put on the new, because there has been a new life given us in Jesus Christ. Man, it just makes sense when he begins to put it together, like they said, kind of like a puzzle. It makes sense when you see it being put together. And so here, only the principle of eternal life in us can explain the love that we have for the law of God. You and I didn't love the law of God before we got saved. Or we might say, well, I do too. But there was no sign of that. I don't care how good we live, we didn't love the law of God. In fact, we probably didn't know what the law of God was unless there were 10 commandments on the wall somewhere or another we read. So he's talking about something here that's more than just a norm of saying something because we're creatures of flesh and there's some things we don't know really what's going to happen. And we just know there's a God somewhere or another, and somehow I can appease him by what I do. No, it takes a birth of that. Paul said, I delight in the law of God. And it's after the inward man, not the flesh, not my members of the flesh. He said, watch. And he said in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warn against the law of my mind. Now he knows, he tells us we'd have the mind of Christ. We're to renew our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians when he got saved. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. If he didn't get something internal, he'd still be trying to kill Christians. The only thing he could see is what was coming outside of the law of God and trying to listen to what the leaders were said and being sure that this man, Jesus Christ, cannot be who he says he is because he's going against, he thought, the whole nation of Israel. And yet we realize that that's the reason he came. Because he was really showing us God's plan of working even with Israel in the Old Testament to get us to the New Testament and to get us home on the other side, a generation of people, as we go through this in time. Notice he said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and this is what gets me. He didn't, he had a choice. He said, it brings me unto captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul said, I'm saved, But in my members is the law of sin. And I have the law of God in my mind. And I know what God says, but Lord, there's something going on that my members seem to get to control the law of my mind. And instead of doing what I knew I should do, if I'm not careful and on guard and watching my soul and my life, I may do something that would just be displeasing to God. Because this flesh is tricky. Satan's like a fox. He's evil. He's sly. He does it. And this flesh is tricky. Did you know? Ladies and gentlemen, you may not understand it, but if you and I didn't know anything about God at all, this Bible, this flesh could teach us some things that God would be pleased with, would be an abomination in His sight. How is that? We got people right now, right here in North Carolina, who are believing things that are abomination, and yet they still believe God is pleased with it. Why is that? That a natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they're foolishness unto him. You have to be born into the family of God and get the nature of the Lord at that time. So only the principle of light, eternal life in us can explain such love for the law of God. But at the same time, the flesh constricts, here's the thing, us. It's like tightly bound clothes for those who have died physically. You remember when Jesus called Lazarus forth from the dead and he came hopping out of that grave? What did he say? Loose him and let him go. So that's what this is what we see sin. This body is trying to, it's trying to constrain the things of God, keep it from activating. So it will, if the new nature doesn't activate like it should and can be, and you have to activate it through the scriptures. We know that, don't we? We know what activate is. You get a telephone or something, you have to have it activated. Right? You have to go somewhere and have it activated. Well, when we find we get saved, the activation comes through the scriptures. We know what to do through the scriptures. So the fleshly principle is a war against the principle of this new life that's in Christ. So we feel like, Paul said, I feel like a captive to the law of sin in my own members. You mean that's Apostle Paul, who we read in chapter 8, is saying, I feel like I'm captive? Well, that's chapter 7 before he gets to chapter 8. He's laying a parallel starting about being saved and what happens in growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and showing what the flesh will do. But showing, even though he gave us chapter part of 6 and mostly 7 here, even though he gave that to us, he knew he already had the victory because the Holy Spirit showed him that in chapter 8. Someone said, well, he just did that and got it right and didn't do it no more. Not what he's talking about here. He cried out, but men saved a number of years, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul, the great Paul, who says so much about eternal life and security and things like that, and he cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? He knew who should deliver him, but he had a battle going on, and he came to God just like we ought to sometimes. Lord, I need your help to know what I need to do. Just having a knowledge is not enough. There's a power behind that. And the flesh is very, very powerful to use things against us. Now, the question is, the flesh, so we feel like captives to the law of sin in our members in Romans 7:23, and that's what he told us, I just read to you at this time. Satan still fights, hear me, Satan still fights the born-again child of God on the outside. He's constantly coming to us from the outside, constantly trying to get us to do things that wherein inside we know from the mind that God has given us, the mind of Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ. He tells us that. The mind of Christ is the scriptures giving us information about the new man and what we can do. Now the question is, how can this be? How in the world can this be that Paul's going through that? When he told us over in chapter 6, go back over there with me just a minute, and let's look at a couple of verses. Look in chapter 6 in verse 21 and 22. He already told us we had the victory. Notice he said in verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. He's talking to the child of God. What fruit is a child of God in those things that are sin, which are the end to death? Doing that against the very nature of God. Verse 22, but now been made free from sin and become in service to God. Notice, he didn't say free of sin. If he'd said free of sin, you knew better that sin's around you all the time. Sin's attracting us all the time. Sin's got us in the way you turn this day, the world has something to attract the flesh towards sin. Right down the road and look at the billboards, you see some in some places, right? Everything's there to attract us. But he said here at this time, notice, he said, but now being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end of everlasting life. In other words, he said that we have, let me go back again. He said, being made free from sin, you become servants to God. It's not that sin's not there, but now we have the power to put it where it need to be, to put it down. Mortify it, like he said in chapter 8, down about verse, you remember when we read that back, verse 13? Now live out the flesh. We don't have to live out the flesh now. To do so is because we just do it. That's all there is to it. And I thank God Almighty that his word is enough to help us in this life. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, be honest with you. If we don't heed God's word, no matter how good a Christian we think we are, we're not doing much for God. We should be our own criticism when it comes to what we do in this life. Because God has given us the responsibility to understand what he means when he talks about our life for him. Living for Jesus Christ. You know that song, Living for Him? So I see this. How can this be? After Paul's early wrote in the epistle that our bondage is sin broken, we are supposed to have been set free from sin, according to 6 verse 22, and he tells us that in chapter 6 and verse 22, been now being made free from sin. Well, I'm going to tell you what's true. The closer I get to God, the more I see the flesh been attacked, aren't you? I mean, people attack you like no telling what if you get close to God and begin to let him move in your heart outward so others can see the Lord in us. And he goes on. And Paul earlier wrote in this very epistle that our bondage to sin is broken. We're supposed to have been set free from sin, Romans 6:22. How is it that just one chapter later he says that he's captured to the law of sin that dwells in his members in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, I read to you in 23? Sound like a contradiction, doesn't it? One minute he said, I've got it. Next minute he said, I don't have it. But he's the way the words are used. Sin is always present, but we don't have to be controlled by it. Why? There's been spiritual circumcisions taking place in our heart that God talks about, which cuts away the filth of the flesh as he deals with us in our heart. So it's very important for us to know. Being a captive is not. Somebody said, well, he's talking about being captive. Notice in verse 23 of chapter 7. He said, in bringing me into captivity is the law of sin, which is in my members. That's in my flesh, what he's talking about. And being captive is not quite the same as being enslaved. You know that? Enslaved means you're controlled completely by it. But he says, a born-again child of God, every once in a while, Satan tricks me or encaptures me. And when he does, as an unredeemed sinner, we were fully time slaves all the time. We were willing servants, even though we had some good traits about us. And as a Christian who are not yet glorified in these bodies, he said, we're in God's sight, he is, he sees us. But now this body's never been glorified. Today we wouldn't have any trouble with it. Amen. That's why we look forward to that new creation, getting a glorified body. You never have no trouble throughout eternity once we get there. And so now we're fully enslaved before we got saved. And as Christians who are not yet glorified, we are captive, he says. That is, we're unwilling prisoners of an already defeated enemy. Satan's defeated, but he's constantly picking on the outside. And anytime you take a little sore and start picking, it gets bigger on it. Best thing to do with a little sore, not pick it no more and put something on it, take care of it. But if you keep picking it, keep picking. And Satan does that sometimes. The next thing you know, something explodes into something. Then turn to that a person either shows they're saved by correction or they're not saved. And so he goes on and tells us about this. Although sin can buffet and abuse us, sin does not own us now. It cannot utterly destroy us now. Sin's authority and dominion are broken. It lies close at hand. It's in the believer's life and instance. And according to verse 21, he said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul said, every time I want to do something good, there's always something trying to stop it. And if I don't know everything that I need to know, sometimes I may let that put something in the way, keep from doing what I did. And that's why he says we got to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. If we don't do that, then we're not going. And by the way, this is the reason deep study on Wednesday night is done here, because if you understand what this book says, you're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And some people can't take that. They just can't take it. Because when you and I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, I tell you what, that word of God is going to go against the grain of this flesh. It's going to go against it. And next thing you get us to say, well, that's his opinion, not really what it says. Read the words and study these words individually and see what God has to say to your heart about it, and then you understand a little more about what we're saying. And so it cannot destroy us, but here's what the sin's authority and dominion are broken, and it's close at hand, and it's in the believer's life, but it's no longer, and here's the key we have to understand. Since I got saved, and I've had a lot of times to grow and doing not far things when I first got saved and what I have where I'm now, 57 years later, there's a lot different than it was when I first got saved. And so where I'm at this particular time, I see this, that in this sense, our allegiance, that is, sin is no longer a master me, sin is no longer a lifestyle. These individual things may come up when I'm blind. I don't know everything. I wish I did know everything in this book. I don't know very little in this book. But I tell you this, what I know I try to act upon. But I find sometimes it's hard to do it in the flesh. You need the power of God. And you have to go and ask God and claim that power at that time. And it's in a sense that our allegiance is now the principle of righteousness. Romans 7:22, that's what he tells us. He said in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's what's always there. I delight in the law of God. Well, if I delight in the law of God, I'm going to go in this book, find that law, what that law is. And when I do internally, he begins to let us grow. And then next thing you see, that will cause us to do what we need to do, even though we have little spots along the way, because we never get this body redeemed. This body will never be redeemed. And I don't care where we're at in life, we're not a match to Satan in this body that we have now. And so we look, and he said, even though we still fall in old patterns at times, our allegiance is now to the principle of righteousness. It's in this sense that the new has come. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, over just a couple of places, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and down about verse, let me turn there and read that real fast. Like. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Don't that tell us what God is telling? We're not the natural man anymore. We have natural flesh, but we've been redeemed. And he goes on and he says, if any man, again, read that in verse chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Notice, are becoming new. Notice that are all things becoming new. Now, what is becoming new? When I got saved, September 27, 1959, God didn't just slap me with everything and said, you got it all now, son. He gave me everything I needed in Christ. But I've been coming since I've been saved. Becoming means you've not got all now, but it's something that's happened as you walk, right? So he tells us here, he said in verse 17 again, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That is, hey, the spiritual substitution has been cut that where they can be done mortified, put to death. But then he says, notice, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. That becoming new is of God, who had reconciled to us himself by Jesus Christ and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so Paul understands that he is dealing with something that only God can deliver him from. And even though we still hold patterns of sinful thinking and behavior, and in life you have to admit, there's times you have thought patterns, ladies and gentlemen, you wish you didn't have. He said, not me, boy. I conquer all of mine. Bless your heart. Let me set on you a little while then. I'm going to tell you what's true. I find out that at my weakest moment sometimes, just having, thinking, ever, I run across something and see something and Pat have a flashback of years ago, and all of a sudden I say, Lord, that's under the blood. Amen? If not, you'll be deceived because Satan is a trickery. He'll make us believe something's not is okay that's not okay. And so even though we still follow that pattern, those things no longer define who we are. Sin is now an intruder into our lives. It's not the sum total of our lives. It's not even the substance of our life. It's not even the substance of our character, because we're born again children of God. But it ought to be that character begins to change more as years pass in salvation. I don't expect a person who just got saved to understand what they need to do like I should understand what I need to do 57 years later. I have to look at that. If that be the case, then, ladies and gentlemen, if this person did not expect it, and God wouldn't expect it, you have to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. If they have to learn something, and I close with a thought, if they have to learn something over here about what to be a Christian, and they don't know it, and they do something where they have to later confess their sin, I'm glad the fact that when they're babes in Christ, God don't throw them out just because they didn't, if they're truly born again, God's not going to throw them out just because they didn't grow in a certain way, or where they were at an atmosphere they couldn't grow. Maybe they won't talk like they should be taught. And then suddenly he'll correct that and they'll adjust. And life is adjustment from the flesh to the spirit. And the natural man then begins to be less seen and there shall never be. In other words, God will prove the fruit outward that people look at us. When we're transformed from within out, God will prove the fruit from that transformed life will be seen, so that you may find some things and misread some things at times. I say the world may do that to us, but God sees our heart, and there we will manifest more of Christ than someone who just says, you know, they got it and don't really know they got it. It's in our heart when we go outside that door there that we show and manifest who Jesus Christ is. And then pray for God to help us understand it to the place that we can say the right thing. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, God is changing us from the inside out. And that's what I like about this. He has to change us from the inside out before we can change the outside with his help for the others to see Christ in us. Did you know the only thing that really matters if people see Christ in us? Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Just see Christ in us. And this flesh has to do a lot of changing, because they can't see you, the new creation, inside. They can only see out here. And that's when we get so much. Because there are times, it doesn't matter if I don't even know that I offend someone another, somewhere or another. If it's done, God has a record of it, and it's just as bad if I didn't know it. See, sin is not like most people with 10 things on the wall, 15 things on the wall. If I just do that, it's okay with God. Sin has to do with attitude, has to do with character, has to do with everything. And this Bible tells us that. And I'm thank God for this book, because in Romans, we're seeing a deepness of God to show us that there is a requirement for us as a child of God, but there's also a requirement to grow. And to grow helps us know what we need to be doing. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, let this be a time of growth. Get inside to help us understand what being saved is. Lord, it'd be hard to talk to a baby in a womb, even if we could talk where they could understand, to know what it is to be in this world. So we're in this world now, come through the mother's womb, and we're in the time, and now it'd be hard. It's hard even for God, as he said. When I say it's hard, because it's not that he can't do it, it's just the fact many times we have so many things that deviates our mind away from the truth of God. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that God's word is there and the Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment. And Lord, you're trying your best to knock all the rough spots off. And sometimes we have a lot of those. And put us in a place that we're before you, so we can say, "You, Lord, the only thing that really matters." Lord, I believe with all my heart, you have a pattern, you have a plan, you have a purpose. And I believe that life itself is not just to be a human being and then let them just have a good time on this earth and no purpose at all. That's the reason your plan and purpose been worked. And somehow or another, our lives, as we grow, as we become who we are and surrender to you, you're using that to promote your word in this world until you take us home. These people here tonight, Lord, just the fact they came, storm coming up, the fact they came tonight just amazes me that people see them going to church somewhere or another. And they say, well, they go to church all the time. They don't realize, though, we go because we know that's the place you said, forsake not your assembly together. And we know, Lord, unless there were providential hindrance of some kind, here's where I will be fed, hopefully, the word of God to help us in our own Christian inside out when we go back in that world to work on the areas we need to work to adjust forever, that God may receive glory and honor in our lives until we get home. Help us with our failures. Help us with our thoughts. Help us with everything that we need help with. And then give us the power to adjust for you until we see your wonderful face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.